Psalm 107 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 3 this morning in Psalm 107. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God? Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. And oh, truly, it is important. And you deserve all the thanks that we could give. Lord, I pray that you would anoint Pastor Johnson with your Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches the Word of God to us today. Help us to have ears that hear and lives that are obedient to what is preached this morning. And Father, has been prayed already, if there's somebody, whether on the internet or in this room this morning, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle that today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
While you're being seated now, I'll ask that you make sure your electronic devices are turned off and that you're paying careful attention this morning, please. Psalm 107 and verse 2, notice the statement. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redemption to Israel had a very special meaning. The word redeemed, it means to purchase. It means to pay a price. It means to set free, to liberate. So when Israel talked about redemption, they were talking about their being a chosen people. To them, it was the idea of God that he redeemed them from the races of mankind and chose them to be his people. By the way, Israel's still God's chosen people. One thing I'm looking forward to with the change of administration is maybe we'll get an administration that's friendly to Israel now instead of the way that Israel has been horribly treated by the current administration. They're still God's chosen people. God redeemed them. God looked down and chose that race, that nation. He has never taken his hand off of them. They're God's chosen people. So to them, the idea of redemption reminded them they were a chosen generation. Redemption also to them, whenever the word redemption would be used to the Jews, they would think of their deliverance from Egypt's bondage. How that God miraculously humbled the world's greatest empire at that time and took 2 to 3 million slaves and set them free from Egypt's bondage. Under that blood on the doorpost and the death angel passed them over, and those Egyptian taskmasters wanted them out. They were delivered that night miraculously by God from bondage to freedom. So to them, the word redeemed reminded them of their liberation from Egypt's bondage. But redemption also had a special meaning to the Jews because it reminded them of the redemption of the so-called kinsman redeemer. It's a principle that the Jews had that was this. If a relative or a loved one had fallen into difficulties and hard times, a kinsman, a relative, could come along and redeem them from those hard times. If it was a debt that was owed, the relative would do the kinsman part and pay the debt and set them free. In some cases, as you know in the Bible from Old Testament passages, Ruth was married to a Jewish man and her husband died, and Boaz redeemed her for his wife and bought her not as a slave but as purchased the right to have her as his wife, and he did the part of the kinsman and redeemed her. So to them, redemption meant someone had paid a price to set them free from their difficulties, hardships, and troubles. And to the Jews, redemption also meant this. Every time the word was used, it would remind them of how God had redeemed them personally from some things in their life. They would always make it a personal thing. Not only a national thing, not only a matter of heritage from their fathers in Egypt's bondage, and not only of the principle of the kinsmen, but you say redemption to the Jews, and they would think of how God had redeemed them from their own troubles, from their difficulties, from their failures, when they had let God down and God provided them the redemption of forgiveness. So you see, it was a word that meant so much to them as God's chosen people, these Jews. Now, unfortunately for us today, we don't have the same principle, do we? Or do we? Are we not God's chosen generation, a royal priesthood? Did not God provide us with redemption from the bondage of sin? Oh, yes. Has not our Heavenly Father done the part of the kinsman redeemer in our lives and redeemed us from a life of trouble and difficulties and redeemed us when we were like sheep and gone astray and redeemed us and purchased the difficulties of our lives and put it upon Him, His own self, and provided us with forgiveness? Oh, yeah. Oh, my. When you hear the word redemption, Christian friend, don't you think about your salvation? How that redemption, the one who pays a price for someone else. Redemption for us, that's Calvary. That's Jesus. That's the cross. That's Jesus Christ leaving heaven, fleeing to the crimson womb of Mary, walking sinlessly, perfectly on this earth for 33 homesick years, giving Himself over to tormentors, nailing to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus redeemed us. He bought us. He paid a price, the price of His precious blood. And that redemption, ladies and gentlemen, was offered to us by grace through faith in that finished work on the cross and that empty tomb 3 days and three nights later. Oh my, Jesus redeemed us, didn't He? Oh yes, but wait a minute, hasn't He redeemed us a few more times since then? Now, I don't mean give you salvation. Redemption, salvation is once for all, forever, but I'm talking about since you were saved, has God not redeemed you? Has He not come in His grace and mercies, and sometimes in His chastisement, has He not redeemed us from our difficulties? Has He not provided you with forgiveness? If we confess our sins, is He not still faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Is that not true for you, my child of God friend? Well, then you see, redemption means just as much to us as it does to the Jews. And Psalm 107 and verse 2 says this, "Then let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, pardon me if I bring up some sad news this morning, but we've just had to endure two conventions of political parties. We've watched people cheer at every statement or half statement or partial statement, mostly untrue statements, made by politicians, and they were willing to shout and cheer and throw their signs up in the air and cheer for their particular candidate or issue or party or whatever the case may be, or particular reference to something that touched their lives or they are politically motivated about. And we watched them cheer and carry on and cheer and carry on and cheer and carry on, and they were willing to say so. My Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We know this, and I don't mean to drag politics into the situation this morning. We know this, that the vast majority of people in this country who believe that book you hold in your hands have been silent far too long. Wait, listen to me now. Silent to the point of just giving this country away. That's what we've been doing. America's fault in the political realm is not the people who lead it who are wicked or ought to be in jail or don't know what they're talking about. The problem is this: we've got Americans who sit on their blessed assurance and do nothing about what's wrong with this country when they could do something. And you've got a first Tuesday in November to do something this year. Now, setting aside politics, let me ask you this, Christian. Don't you think it's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, I don't believe in pushing my religion on anybody. Why not? They push theirs on you. We're getting this stuff shoved down our throat every day. If I had it right up to here with it. You hear me? They're telling us that 2% of the population of this country has too much wealth, and they have no rights to have that. Then turn around and say, but 2% of this population of this country, they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and whatever the Q thing is. They have all their rights, but the other ones don't. Does that not make sense to you? That doesn't seem like hypocrisy to you. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just all by myself in my stupidity. The truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting everybody's telling us what to believe. You've been told all week long what to believe. You can't go in a grocery store and buy a stinking loaf of bread without the world telling you what to believe. What's right, what's wrong, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what's good, what's bad, what you ought to believe and what you ought not to believe. Now, I'm not advocating this morning that you and I start getting our placards out and getting our signs out and go around protesting all the stuff that goes on in this world today. But the Bible does say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're not supposed to keep our mouths shut. We're not supposed to sit back and be tolerant. We're supposed to stand up and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, well then, Pastor Johnson, what does that mean? You want us to go get involved in the city council meetings? You want us to go get involved in the political thing? You want us to get behind one of these candidates? And behind is a good location. Get behind one of these candidates and push and shove and carry on. Is that what you're talking about? No, I'm talking about people who've been redeemed, ladies and gentlemen. Paid for, bought with a price. People who've been given amazing opportunity to have a life given them by the Almighty God of heaven. Not the little g God, not the pluralistic God, not the polytheistic God, the big G God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who took upon himself human flesh and came to this earth and died on the cross and paid for our sins and rose again to provide for us the only way of salvation. Through his precious blood, we've been redeemed. We were bound for hell, and he redeemed us for heaven. We were bound for a life of sin and bondage, and we're redeemed to a life of liberty and joy and a life that we could never have possibly imagined. The Bible says, let those redeemed say so. How? Verse number one, by a thankful heart. Look at me. By a thankful heart. It says, now look at the Bible, please. Give thanks, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Now look at me. Some of you are getting excited. You thought we were going to start having a rally here and get behind this whole thing. All right, it's about time this church started getting into the idea of politics. Politics, I'll tell you what about politics. That's Hebrew for uh-uh. No, I'm not promoting candidates and that kind of issue. I'm telling you this morning. It is time for God's people who have been redeemed to demonstrate that redemption and an appreciation for it by a thankful heart and life. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth. Oh, the amazing mercy and grace of God. Can I ask you a question, though? Today, just today. Now, we won't go back up too far here, but just today. Did you thank him for your salvation? Did you tell him how much you appreciate the fact that you are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, kept by that power that saved you, keeps you? A thankful heart. Let the redeemed. See, you say, well, Pastor Johnson, okay, so I'll try to remember to be more thankful. See, that's our problem. We have to work at being reminding ourselves to be thankful. It should be so natural to us, it's not even funny. And I'll tell you what it means. When a child of God is going to be a redeemed who's going to say so by a thankful heart, I'll be honest with you. Look at me. It's going to show up on his face right here. It's not going to be one of these. It's not going to be one of these. I'm so thankful. Good night. You know, I'm sorry, but thankful people, it just kind of shows up in their countenance. It sort of shows up in their behavior. got to have an attitude of the world's not here for me. I'm here and a blessed man just to walk this planet, just to be alive on God's earth. You know why? Because I have salvation and nobody can take it. That which is most precious to me in my heart, in my life, no one can put a hand on it. They can't tax it. They can't outlaw it. They can't make it illegal. They can't come and take it away from me. Oh, but they can throw you in prison, but they can't touch my salvation. Oh, but they can take away your freedom, but they can't touch my salvation. That which is most precious to me. They come and pass laws that you scratch your head and think, oh man, who is so stupid to think with that one? There's a special kind of stupid running around the halls of legislature. Special kind of stupid. And they've been elected. Some of them are crippled too high for crutches. They ought to sue their brain for desertion. But I don't care what they do. Look at me. They can't take God's mercy away from me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. By a thankful heart in life. Some of you, you're so pinched up with what's going on in this world today. You're so drawn up by what's happening in the world or not happening in this world. Some of you, you're so caught up by the worldly stuff of this day. Some of you, you're so infected and affected by sin in your life. It has grieved the Holy Spirit of God, and you have no real joy that comes from the knowing that I'm a saved child of God. Say, well, Pastor Johnson, I know I'm saved. Okay, question. If you know you are, why doesn't that show up in a thankfulness? It's just the automatic response of things. Isn't that how we were taught? Well, some people. Isn't that how we were taught? Weren't you taught manners as a kid? Now, there's a whole generation that aren't. I understand that. They have no comprehension of it whatsoever. But now, I'm sorry, and it's an old school statement to make that, but weren't you taught that when you were a kid growing up to say thank you? We were down in San Diego with some of our three of our grandchildren down there. We had two of them at the park, and I think we had them all at the park, didn't we, babe? No, just two. We had two of them at the park. We lost one somewhere. And my little granddaughter, Scotia. You mean like Nova Scotia? Yeah, I didn't name her. Scotia. She's a little speed burner, that child. She is so fast. She'd go over to get on this little bouncy toy thing in the playground. Another little girl about her age went over there, and they got there about the same time. Scotia beat her to it, got up on the toy thing, started spinning. And Mom's standing there watching it, the other one. And she turns to me and she goes, aren't you going to say something? So what, nice hang time? What? She wanted me to give a lecture to my granddaughter about getting on the toy before the other kid. I thought, seriously? See, this has been, some of your moms out there are going, why didn't you lecture her about it? Are you kidding me? I mean, honestly, did the whole shape of the world's economy just warp over two kids trying to get on a springy snail in a playground somewhere? Aren't you going to say something? I looked at her and I go, no. And she just looked at me like, you animal. I'm surprised she didn't call the cops on me. Seriously, call in a negotiator. You want me to get somebody in to negotiate this snail thing? Oh, we can say something about that. But, excuse me. Then we wake up every morning with the same salvation you went to bed with the night before. And God didn't take it away from you. Hey, I said God didn't take away from you. I said God didn't take away from you. You got mercy, didn't you? Yeah, I did. I did too. I got mercy. Woo! Man, did I get mercy. I get mercy every day of my life. And you know something, ladies and gentlemen? The redeemed of the Lord need to say so by a thankfulness and appreciation. And I don't mean just telling somebody else. I mean tell God. He's cussed all day long. His name is used in vain. People just bandy it about like it's nothing. And then God's children go, yeah, well, I don't know. It's kind of hot out there. It's Redding. It's July. Get over it. What did you think was going to happen up here? Going to be 72? It's just not going to happen. It's hot in July in Redding. Here's really good news. It's hotter in August. See, why are all these tourists coming up here? My question isn't that. My question is this. If it's tourist season, how come we can't shoot them? That's what I want to know. Anyway, don't do that. I'm sorry. Amazing to me. Incredible. We live in air-conditioned houses, drive air-conditioned cars, go to air-conditioned churches, shop in air-conditioned buildings, and then we go, it's so hot out there. It's hot until the air conditioner kicks in. People, the truth of the matter is, see, the redeemed of the Lord need to say so. Look at me. Your God needs to hear a thank you from you. And not one of these when you go home and go, well, preacher, say, well, I say thank you. Thanks. We've all gotten those thank yous in our lives. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate that, bud. Somehow it lacked the sincerity of a real appreciation. But if you just sit for a little bit without any interference now, no phones ringing, no beeping, buzzing, no Pokemon Go things you're looking for. I saw a guy in the bank parking lot when it was closed the other day, walking around like this in the bank parking lot. I thought, you know, they got armed guards in there. They think you could be casing the joint and shoot you in the parking lot. Anyway, without any interference, just nothing, just you, just him. Hey, look at me. And then all of a sudden, you start to think about how wonderful it is to have salvation that you didn't deserve, forgiveness that is permanent, a standing with your heavenly Father, a home in heaven. Doesn't something kind of just sort of come out of you that has something to do with thanks? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so also means this. You speak out about your redemption by a life that says it. Somehow or another, God just sort of expected a lot more out of Israel than he did nations that he didn't call his own. He would even say it in the Old Testament, those are not my children, but you are. Now look, when I go out in public, honestly, I don't judge people with their children. That lady, aren't you going to say something? I just thought, you're kidding me, right? I said, no. Huh. She looked at me like, and she walked out. While her kid was over there pushing somebody down in the sandbox. I thought, aren't you going to go say something over there in the sandbox? And let's just all get together and have a meeting together and hold hands and sing Kumbaya over a sandbox. I just wanted a popsicle. It was unbelievable. I thought, good night, is this the Palestinians and the Arabs and the Jews and this thing? This is a bunch of kids in a sandbox, in a playground. You know, people, it just never ceases to amaze me how that people who are redeemed, we're paid for with a price to remind us that we're not our own. So this kind of Christianity that says, oh, well, I got my fire insurance and I'm going to heaven, but I'm doing what I want in this area. I'm doing what I want in that area. That's not saying so. That's not a redeemed person saying so. I don't judge other people's children and their behavior. You go to stores and you watch these parents and God bless them and their negotiation principles with 4-year-olds. And how they just go through the most unholy stuff to get a 4-year-old to not do something or to behave themselves in some manner. I feel sorry for them. I think, man, I wish you'd go to a good Bible-believing church. We could help. I've been on airplanes before with kid 2 rows back and the kid's just throwing a fit. And you got a 4-hour flight and you're thinking, oh, my soul. You almost want to buy the kid an alcoholic drink to knock him out so you could just, could you give the kid a shot of vodka in his 7-Up, just knock him down for a minute? I mean, come on. Or get up and walk back and say, lady, if you let me have that kid, I'll go in the bathroom. He'll be all right when we come out. It'll be fine. Really. But you say, you know, okay, they don't know what they don't know. They're not my child. But we've all been embarrassed by our children before, haven't we? Yeah. We're never embarrassed by our grandchildren because everything they do is wonderful. The kids are a little terror and you're taking pictures of them, you know. Oh, here's Billy taking over Walmart. Bing, 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 bing. You take pictures of it, and you get a whole collage of it the next day. You put it on, post it on your social media page. Here's Billy, you know, being escorted out at 4-year-old by the security at Walmart. Unbelievable. You think God doesn't look down at his children and say, you're redeemed? I paid a price. Now, he never takes that price back. Don't misunderstand that statement. God doesn't look down and say, well, you're not going to live up to it. You don't have salvation. No, that's not how it works. You're saved. He is secure. That salvation is so secure you couldn't undo the work of the great grace of God. You can't do it. But see, now look at me. So then, see, to him, just like with his children Israel, he expects more of us. He expects something else than a little donation of a few minutes on a Sunday morning. He expects more of us. He expects more from his children. He even goes as far as to say you're supposed to present your body a living sacrifice. Like everything. Like everything. Everything he paid for, all of it. See, he expects that from you. And he expects that from me. Now, I can present this to you in a couple ways. Number one, I can tell you that if you're God's child and you won't do what he tells you to do, he'll make you wish you wanted to. He'll get your attention. I can present it that way. And by the way, that is true. I could present it like this and say, you know, we ought to just think about this real carefully, and when we get around to it, if you ever show up one of these days and do something for God, that would be good too. That's kind of stupid, but that's done a lot. Or number three, here's how we could present it to us. That salvation for which I am so thankful, I want to show him how much I'm thankful to him. And without trying to draw attention to myself, I want my redeemed life to say so in such a way that people say, there is something different about how you live. There is something different about the way you do things. There is something different about where you go and where you don't go. There is something different about how your life is conducted. And let my life be what I say so with. My say so is my living. My Okie people used to call it, don't be all store front and no groceries. You need to have something that's real about what you are and what you do that's genuine. Wherever you go, wherever you do, whatever you do, however you live your life, it's there. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so by a life that looks like it's been redeemed. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so by redeeming others. You know, that Israel wasn't the only nation that left Egypt. There was what was called a mixed multitude that went with them. Now, there were some of those people that went with them out of Egypt's bondage. They just went, they got caught up in the moment. Here they go, okay, let's go. And they paid a price for that later. But there were some Egyptians who saw what God did in protecting his people. And some of those Egyptians, they became Jews. They converted. They jumped ship. They became a part. And all through Israel's history, when they went into the promised land, there were people who they didn't have to conquer. There were people who surrendered willingly and said, we like to be what you are. We like to know what you have. The redeemed of Israel was said so in such a way, there were people who wanted to become one of them. Question. Anybody wanted to know the Lord you know? Anybody? Anybody care? Or are they scared to death because of you? See, look here now. That baptizing grapefruit juice look, that isn't going to draw a whole lot of people to Jesus. That grouchy attitude at it, that stuff, that pick up from the world, where we're as critical as the world is, negative as everybody, that kind of stuff, that's probably not going to draw a lot of folks to Christ. As much as it's uncomfortable to say things to others, it shouldn't be uncomfortable to a redeemed person because, you see, we're bought with a price and we'd like them to know the same Savior that we know. Wouldn't we? I was trying to think of it maybe this morning. We were flying out of Boston. I can't remember where we were going. It was in the terminal. That's where you go to get on the plane. We were in the terminal and there was two gates. Instead of gate 22 and 23, it was 22A, 22B. And one of them was going to where we were flying, and the other one was going to Fort Myers, Florida. 22A was Fort Myers, Florida. 22B was, well, I don't even remember where we were going at the time. And we were talking, and they were both taking off within about 5 minutes of each other. And so when they said, okay, boarding such and such flight to 22A, I said, oh, that's us. So we go over there. I hand the ticket to the lady checking things. She checks us in. We go in. We get on the airplane. We sit down. They close the door. They back the plane up. Stewardess is standing next to me getting ready to do the thing that nobody pays attention to. You ever hear one of the stewardesses go, we found a $500 bill. We'd like to give that to you. Everyone goes, now that I have your attention, let me do this for you. And the lady announces and says, thank you for flying with us today to Fort Myers, Florida. I went, uh-oh. I said, ma'am. She goes, what? And I go, we're not supposed to be on this flight. She goes, really? I go, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind going to Florida, but we're not supposed to go to Florida. She goes, okay, just a minute. She goes up, she tells the stewardess, poof. She calls the pilot, poof. They stop the plane. They pull it back up to the gate. They have to put the gate thing out there to get you on the plane. The door opens, and then the stewardess comes on and goes, we have two people on our flight today. We're not supposed to be going to Fort Myers, Florida. And they're going to get off the plane now. And I thought, oh, great. So you ever felt 400 eyeballs hating you? I mean, people looking at you like, there's that jerk that made us late, getting off the plane, walking down the plane. So we were just kind of waving at people, get their bag, walk off the plane. Everyone was staring at us. You say, well, what are you going to do? I couldn't go to Florida. I didn't know anybody in Fort Myers, Florida. I had to get off that plane and then get off and pull up and then run around and get on the other plane. Oh, how easy it would have been just to say, that lady checking me in should have paid attention where I was going. Let the guy on the wrong plane say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Christian, do you realize if one Christian wins one lost person to Christ, and that Christian then wins another lost person to Christ, and the person they led to Christ, they lead someone, and you multiply that, did you know you reach the world's population in 12 and a half years? 7.2 billion people. See, that's why the Great Commission is one person winning one person. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. God didn't give you salvation so you could be thankful you're saved. Alone. By yourself. With a glory grin on your face. And never hand a tract or tell another soul about Christ. That is not what we're here for. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't believe in shoving my religion down the throat. You don't have to shove it. How about just present it? How about just explain it to somebody? How about just offer them a tract that has the gospel in it? Every piece of literature we put out in this church has the gospel of Jesus Christ in it. You could hand them a bulletin, they'd get saved. Listen to me carefully. People, don't you understand? We've got the redeemed of the Lord who want to just, they've been told by the media and the political world that it's time for us to be quiet while they shove Islam down our throat, while they shove everything else down our throat, while we have to listen to what they tell us, we don't get to speak our peace. Did one person in any of these conventions stand up and give the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, because it's not politically correct. Too bad. Salvation is through Christ, and that's it. We're not voting on that one, pal. It's already been voted on. It was voted on to Calvary. Jesus paid the price. I'm not talking about offending or affronting people. I am talking about confronting people and telling them, if you're a child of God, you ought to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's time for God's people to open up their mouths and speak up for their God. Every Christian owes a debt to these Jews. We have a Bible largely due to them. Initial soul winning and missions understanding came out of the Jewish people. We owe them a great debt. You know something? But I owe Jesus more than I owe anybody anything. Question. Have you been redeemed? Were you given salvation purchased for by Jesus Christ that cost you nothing? Amazing. Free? Free, but at a great price, yes? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.